Good evening. Beautiful song service tonight. I appreciate the way that you've joined in tonight wholeheartedly into our worship. It's good to see each of you here. I know we still have several who are out, who are traveling, and will be making their way back to us probably sometime tonight. We have some who are sick, but we're also very blessed to have many in our assembly tonight who are visiting with us. We are always, always grateful and honored to have those to come our way as our guest. And I hope that we'll treat you in such a way that you'll want to come back and be with us anytime that you have an opportunity. I wanted to mention a couple of things briefly. Exposure Youth Camp was last week. We had over about 40 of our group that were there up in Huntsville, Alabama. It was an outstanding week. Will did a great job coordinating our young people in this endeavor. It was a spiritually uplifting weekend. We had three of our young people who responded in a public way. Anna Hatcher, also Alexa Bridgman, and I believe Grant Purvis were the three that came forward. And we commend each of those. And I just cannot, it's one of those things, you have to be there. You just have to be there to know what it's all about. And the young people were challenged to be more spiritually minded, to be more like Jesus. And it was just a great week in every respect. And I know you as parents recognize the difference in your young people when they come home from this event. It was mentioned during our announcements about Stewardship Sunday. Let's work hard for that next week. Bring a little extra food for our visitors. Kyle Butt will do an outstanding job in the three lessons that he's going to present. And there are still ways for you to advertise this, either by email or by taking an advertisement or whatever the case may be. So let's look forward to our day together next Lord's Day. Of course, Brother and Sister Binkley will be leaving us for about 8 months, up to possibly a year, next Monday. And so they'll be with us, Lord willing, next Sunday, but we want to wish them well. They're out of town visiting some family tonight and worshiping elsewhere, but they'll be with us, Lord willing, next Sunday. We want to think about them and pray for them on this endeavor that they're about to engage in. Also, it's come to my attention that one of our members, Brother Chase Springer, Chase and Charity, just recently placed membership with us. He is going to be traveling to Johns Hopkins University to undergo some evaluations. And, of course, we don't know anything in particular at this time, but we do want to remember Chase in our prayers as he travels there, and for his safety and for the test that will be taken and for good results. And so let's remember him in our prayers. And you think about those of our number who are serving in the military, some who are close to being home, others we hope will be here later. We need to remember those as well. And I just think it would be good before we begin tonight if we would just pause and go to God in prayer with these thoughts. Will you bow with me? Our merciful and kind Heavenly Father, we are truly, truly grateful and honored that we have the privilege to be able to come before you tonight as this church. We're so thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for all the good things that you do for us, for the provisions that you give us spiritually, materially, and physically. Our minds tonight at this particular time are focused on Brother Chase Springer as he travels to Johns Hopkins for tests and evaluations. We pray that you would bless him and his family. We pray that your hand of peace and comfort would be upon him. And we pray that you would bless the doctors as they evaluate him, that things will be done so that his health will be what it needs to be. Be with Charity, his wife. Please bless both of them. And we pray that we will encourage them and they'll be encouraged to have faith in you and to rely on you through even difficult times. We're mindful of those of our number who are serving in military, all the military men and women overseas. We pray that you would be with them as well. We pray that you would be with us in the remaining part of our service tonight. We're so thankful for Jesus who gave his life for us, in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight, for the next few minutes, I want us to focus on you and me and this particular church. It is a new year, and it's been since last year since I stood before you, and we're always excited about a new year, aren't we? It's a chance to start fresh. It's a chance to maybe make good on some things that we were somewhat lax on in the previous year. And I think all of us, as we think about the church here at Del Rada, we love this church. We are honored to be a part of this church. It's a good church in so many ways. I've often thought about what this church is going to be like in 30 or 40 years from now. We really don't know, but I think we are going to certainly have a tremendous amount of influence on what the church here is going to be if the Lord lets time go on as the decades passed. We're laying the foundation for the future of this church. And really, when you think about this church and you think about its strengths and its weaknesses and all the many things that we could say about the church here at Del Rada, when it gets right down to it, the strength of this church, the future of this church, depends on you and it depends on me. What am I going to do? What am I going to become? What am I going to contribute to make sure that 2011 is a great year for this particular church in the Lord's work? That's what I want us to think about tonight. Because I believe with all my heart that the strength of this congregation, the future of this church, depends on you. It depends on me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." You see, that's what we are to do as members of the church. We are to be loyal. We are to be committed to Jesus Christ and His cause. We are to always be abounding in the work of the Lord, doing whatever we can to spread the kingdom right here in this community. And then Paul adds those words, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why do we do what we do? Why do we sacrifice? Why do we give our time in the Lord's work? Well, we know, we have confidence that all the things that we do are not going to be in vain. They're going to last. They're going to be eternal in nature. The benefits will last forever. You know, I believe that all of us as members of this church and many of our friends want this church here to be a strong and effective congregation. We want this church to be a successful church. We want to grow and we want to make progress. And if we're going to build this kind of a congregation, I think there are several things that are essential for that to take place. I think, first of all, we need good leadership on every level. Our shepherds who spoke to us this morning are men that love and care about us. They are men that have vision, and that vision always needs to be prevalent. They watch for our souls. But good leadership is needed on every level. From those who oversee the flock down to each individual member. Let me ask you tonight, as you look maybe around you, do you notice some folks that are not here that perhaps normally are always here? Do you? Now, if you notice somebody is not here on this particular service or at another service, what do you do about that? Do you ever call them? Do you ever inquire as to maybe why they were not here? You see, we don't need to wait to receive a visitation card from an organized group leader to allow that to determine what we do and what we do not do. Even on the individual level, I need to look round about me, and I need to be watchful of things that need to be done, of encouragement that needs to be given. And I need to look around me and be watchful and mindful of my brethren. Maybe they're going through some kind of illness, sickness, maybe some kind of problem they're dealing with. I need to be other person-centered. I need to be focused on them. And so leadership starts at the top, but it also ends at the bottom, we might say. Every one of us, as members of the church, have a responsibility to do the work of the Lord. I think we also need challenging and positive preaching that builds faith in God. You know, Paul admonished preachers, I believe, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Paul said, "Preach the word." That's what preachers are to do. And we need to avoid, as gospel preachers, this entertainment kind of thing that we see in society. The emphasis on, you know, religious psychology and trying to meet all the social problems that are prevalent in our world today. Paul tells preachers, and he tells us all, you preach the word. Did you realize that a preacher could stand in the pulpit every Sunday? And he could preach the truth every Sunday, but still fail as a preacher. Was it not Paul who said that I shun not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God? The truth can be taught every time, but we must teach and preach the whole counsel of God. Paul said, preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Do it when it's popular. Do it when it's not popular. If you preach the word, you're going to make enemies. Some people aren't going to like it. Paul said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or teaching, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they'll be turned away from the truth and be turned unto fables. You know, as gospel preachers, and I feel it's my responsibility as a gospel preacher to preach the word. I think one reason why we see some of the things that we're seeing in the church today transpiring before our very eyes is because we're not preaching the word. There are young people in the Lord's church who have grown up. They've never heard one sermon on why we don't use instruments of music in worship. Now, folks, it's true, and history has proven it to be so. If we fail to preach or teach on any issue or Bible subject, it will most assuredly arise to haunt us again. You see, it has nothing to do with our tradition. Has absolutely nothing to do with how we've always done things. has nothing to do with our heritage. It all goes back to respecting the authority of God. What about the essentiality of baptism? Or what about what the Bible says about marriage and divorce and remarriage? These are sensitive, touchy subjects. The easiest thing to do is just to kind of leave them alone. And that's the direction that some churches have gone. If we can just kind of stay away from those hot topics, then there won't be any controversy that we have to deal with. Now, I thought about my preaching as I try to evaluate myself, and I've made a determination this year that I'm going to preach more on these sensitive types of issues, at least once a month, on something that we need to hear relative to what we teach and what we practice. Our young people need this. We in the church need to know what we believe and why we believe it. But not only do we need this, I think we need good teaching and learning opportunities. Brother Earl Edwards was here a couple of weeks ago, and just next week we'll have Brother Kyle Butt that will be here. And he'll do a great job talking about stewardship, which, by the way, is mentioned in one out of every four verses in the entire Bible. That subject is dealt with. In just another month or so, we're going to have an outstanding man that I believe is going to knock your socks off for our fortifying the family. Our elders have provided such opportunities. I think about our Bible school program here, that so much work, so many hours have been put in to teaching our young people the things that they need to grow, they need to learn as they grow and as they mature. We need good teaching opportunities. And I think we need to have a willingness to deal with the real needs of members. Not what members feel like they need, but what they really need. And the real needs in our world today have to do with sin. Sin is something that separates us from God. And sure, we can help in many and many other ways. But ultimately, we've got to help folks understand the cure for sin. What sin is and how destructive sin can be. And we need to deal with what people need to hear and not what necessarily they would like to hear or want to hear. And then may I suggest that we need committed serving members, people that are willing to look out and see what needs to be done. And have the attitude, here am I, Lord, use me. I'll do whatever I can to the best of my ability. Now, when we look at these particular areas, these five areas, I think we have a great start on many of these. I think we're doing a good job in many, many of these areas. In fact, we may be far ahead of where many congregations are with what we already have in place. But, you know, that's not our measuring stick. You know, we don't compare ourselves to other churches. Just like as individuals, we don't need to compare ourselves with what somebody else is doing. I'm doing better than so-and-so. God doesn't use that kind of standard. God knows what my best is. That's all He expects, for me to do my very best. God expects us to use our talents and our abilities that we have for His service to build up His kingdom. I want us to briefly look at Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 42 down through 48. As we think about some considerations along these lines tonight, here in Luke chapter 12, the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. Now, think about that question tonight. Who is that faithful and wise steward? Am I in that category? Do I fall under the category of being a faithful and wise steward? And the Lord goes on to say, as he clarifies what is a faithful and wise steward that's going to be rewarded in due season, he says in verse 43, he said, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and to drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not aware, not looking for him, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." Verse 47 says, "And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few." And then the text says, "For everyone to whom much is given, much will be required." Every time I read that verse, I think about that old Spider-Man movie. You remember? Remember in the very first movie when Spider-Man was figuring out who exactly he was, and I think it was his uncle that told him, if I remember this correctly, "With much power comes much responsibility." I hope I got that correct. And that's certainly true in the Lord's church as well. With much talent, with much ability, comes much responsibility. And we need to take that responsibility seriously. And so, as individuals tonight, as a congregation, I need to ask myself, am I being a sensible steward? Now, a steward is simply one that's been entrusted with something that belongs to somebody else. And everything we have from God. Our lives, the air that we breathe, time, money, talents. Now, if we're being sensible and wise stewards, then the text says we're going to be blessed. And if not, God is going to be displeased. But the point we need to really get is in the latter part of verse 48. To whom much is given, from much shall be required. That's just simply saying that God wants our best. He wants to be number one in our lives. And therefore, we need to use our abundance of talent and our resources. We need to glorify God as we walk by faith and not by sight, as we look out into the fields and see that they're white already unto harvest. How do great congregations succeed? What do they do in order to make the great advancements that they do? Well, it comes by the dedication of individuals within the congregation who are motivated to become more like God. And so the point tonight that I want us to really see and understand is that the key to a strong and effective congregation begins with me. We're not careful sometimes, those elders, they ought to have more vision than they have. They ought to be leading us in a better way. That old preacher there, you know, man, he's just not doing it for me anymore. Don't seem to be getting much out of the lessons, and the singing sometimes is not what it ought to be. And man, that Bible school teacher, they need to kind of work on their lessons a little bit more. I think they could be much more effective. And if we're not careful, we become so focused on other people, we become so negative-oriented that we fail to understand that the problem with us is me. And we get involved in the blame game, and we start blaming other people maybe for our lack of spirituality, when what we need to do is begin with me. Look in the mirror and become what I need to become. And when I become what I need to be, the church here is going to be what it ought to be. And so we need members who are committed to their own personal growth and development. And if we are committed to our own betterment, then we're going to be committed to the congregation's growth and development. And so as we begin this year of 2011, I want us to realize that the key to our spiritual success is our own individual spiritual growth. You see, it wouldn't matter if the Apostle Paul or Jesus Christ himself stood in this pulpit or stood in an adult Bible class every time we meet together. If a church, if an individual depends upon the preaching and teaching that's done in the public aspects of the church to grow, the church never will make progress. It's only when we assume individual responsibility and we're willing to leave the walls of this building and get out where the people are and glorify and honor God by how we live and what we say and how we teach, that the church is going to grow. Everything that I do, everything, I must look to grow on the highest level of my ability to be the very best that I can be. And when I'm the best I can be, and when you're the best that you can be, it's going to benefit this congregation. And the more we grow spiritually, the more spiritual secure this church is going to be. The stronger its future is going to be. And so tonight I need to realize that the quality of my faith personally contributes to the good of this congregation. And so I want to ask you, and I know time's getting away from us tonight, but I want to ask you tonight to make a commitment along with me in some areas, just briefly. First of all, let's realize how much God and my brethren depend on me. That I am important. That I am vital to the success of this church. And spiritually, I need to improve my mind. I need to develop my abilities. I need to be renewed in my mind. As Romans 12 verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I need to resolve that I'm going to become a better servant and a better worshiper. I need to serve God and serve others. And when it comes to worshiping God, I don't need to be concerned about what's in it for me, because you see, God is on the throne. He's in the assembly, we might say. We are to do what He desires. We are to perform for Him. We are to do those things that please Him. And so in my worship to God, I need to ask myself, what can I do in my worship to better please God? With that in mind, I won't sit still when we sing with my lips closed. I will sing to the best of my ability. May not be a pretty noise sometime, but it's going to be a joyful noise. I'll put my whole heart into my worship. I'll also become a better student of God's Word. I'll become a better prayer. I'll realize my dependence on God, and I'll pour out my heart in prayer to God more so that He will help me to find the strength that I need in time of need. You know, God expects us to grow. I wish we had time to talk about more of these scriptures, but I'll call your attention to 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. And here Peter challenges these folks to grow, to put away sin, and to be what God would have them to be, to grow spiritually, and thus put on those things that are pleasing to the God of heaven. The Hebrew writer also talks about how we can be challenged to do those things that are needful, to be the kind of people we ought to be, even though we may endure persecution. Or we think about in that Corinthian letter, that Corinthian church was a church that was experiencing all kinds of problems, all kinds of difficulties they were facing. They needed instruction. And Paul admonished these brethren here to not be carnal any longer. Rather, behave like mature men and women. And in the book of Ephesians, and I think the book of Ephesians is a wonderful book, we're told how to grow, we're told how to mature and develop and to be more like Jesus. And without really commenting on these particular ideas, in chapter 4 and verse 22, the book of Ephesians says, lay aside the old self. Put the old self away. Verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's how we grow and become more like Jesus. Chapter 4 and verse 24 says, put on the new self. And of course, it's in Christ that we become that new creation. And of course, in verses 25 through 32, that's going to be seen in the practical aspects of our lives, how we behave, how we talk, how the world views us. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 emphasizes the importance of being an imitator of God. And as we are imitating God, we are to walk as children of light. And then we are to learn what is pleasing to God. Verse 11 of chapter 5 says that we are not to participate in the unfruitful works of darkness. And then verses 15 and 16 admonishes us to be careful how we walk and make the most of our time. All these in the book of Ephesians are things we need to think about and contemplate. And so as I close tonight, and I've gone a little bit over tonight, my specific challenge to you for this new year is to take our prayer life to a whole new level. Let's grow to a new level of worship. Let's focus on that. Let's reach a new level of service. Let's work to grow to a new level in our closeness and in our association with this family here at Del Rita. Now today is January the 2nd. Nobody knows what's going to happen this coming year. When we began last year at this time, there were some folks present at that service that aren't here with us now. We don't know what 2011 is going to hold for us as individuals or as a church. But whatever comes, let's face them with the most powerful, the most mature relationship with God and with each other that we've ever known. And let's realize that whatever happens in our lives, things are going to be okay because death has been defeated. And the worst thing that can happen to me is that I get to go to heaven when this life is over. And there's no more positive way to begin a new year than making sure that I'm in a right relationship with God. Tonight, I hope you'll think about your relationship with God. I hope you'll think about your soul's salvation. We know how important it is to be in Christ. Justification is in Christ. Sanctification is in Christ. Redemption, forgiveness of sins is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. How do I get into Christ? Well, I must believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I must then be willing to believe, and not only believe that word, but I need to be willing to repent, change my life, turn away from those things that are wrong and sinful. And I need to be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and I need to be baptized into Christ where all these blessings are found. You can do that if you've not done so, or if you've not been meeting the challenges of faithfully serving the Lord. There may be corrections you may need to make tonight as well. And so tonight we sing this song of encouragement, and if you're subject to the invitation, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.